This is The Bookshelf on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. All this week on NHPR, we've been exploring veterans' lives and the issues they face here in New Hampshire. So today, for The Bookshelf, we talk to a veteran who has written about the experience of war. In his novel Tower 13, Army veteran Nathan Rizzo merges stories he experienced firsthand while serving in Iraq with those he heard from his fellow soldiers. He joins me now to talk about his novel. Thank you very much for being here, Nathan.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it.
And welcome home.
Thank you very much. I've been here for 7 years now, but I still appreciate it.
From what I hear, you know, covering veterans, it's almost never too late to say welcome home, because the memory of being overseas deployed almost never fades.
Oh, no. Never. Never. It's always going to be with you. It's always going to be a part of you.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Tower 13 and talk about Matthew Duffy, your protagonist. How did you go about forming this protagonist?
Well, he's partially based on me. You might have picked that up. But he's also sort of borrowed from other people I knew, other NCOs. And he's kind of indicative of how the story's going to go. Because the story itself is partially based on my experiences, but also other people's experiences as well, and other stories I heard. Sort of an amalgam of experiences for both Sergeant Duffy and the plot of the story as well.
Mm-hmm. Sergeant Duffy is 27 at the start of the novel, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And the novel takes place on July 1st, 2004.
Yes.
Tell us why you chose to set the novel on that day.
That was the day of Saddam Hussein's arraignment, which was the first time that the world saw Saddam after he'd been pulled out of the septic tank in 2003. Was November of 2003. And they cleaned him up and brought him into the courthouse for the arraignment, and the cameras were rolling, and he got up there and said, "I am still the president of Iraq. I am still the king." You might remember the incident. It was on TV. Everyone saw it. And it happened at Camp Victory, where I was stationed.
And because it was televised and because he made such a spectacle of himself, it turned Camp Victory and this place, Tower 13, into kind of a target.
Yes.
And that became a lot of the action of the book. Of course, in the beginning of the book, there's a huge explosion. Some Iraqis are killed. Americans are thrown in disarray, and that sort of propels the narrative forward. Mm-hmm. That this one day becomes almost a microcosm of the stuff that's happening, or stuff that was happening in 2004 in Iraq.
Yes, yes, very much so. The incidents that happen in this book, they're all compressed into one night. But I was able to take the incident of Saddam Hussein's arraignment and include everything that happens in the plot of this book as sort of a greatest hits package for that deployment. I took the most notable things that happened to me, my friends, stories I heard, and rolled them all into one night. Now, if all that had really happened in one night, that soldier would have gone home and become a resident of the 13th floor, as we would have said.
Meaning they would have been mentally ill. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I won't give away exactly what happened necessarily on that day. And since you've mentioned that, you know, this character is at least some parts of you, I wanted to ask you about one thing that this character said. And he's talking about not wanting to carry around pictures of his daughters because he had this superstition that his daughters could see everything he did. You have a couple of daughters. I didn't know if this was inspired by your feelings about your children.
Partially. I wanted to, when I was deployed, I wanted to keep them isolated from the event, only because seeing, when I was doing a mission like the characters in this book are doing, to see their faces would have softened my heart. And a soft heart on a mission like that will get you killed. So I wouldn't bring pictures of them with me on missions like the guys engaged in this mission are on.
So now that this book is out, they have a chance to read it. They have a sense of, not necessarily to the letter what happened, it's fiction after all, but they get the spirit of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Do you talk to your daughters at all about what happened in war?
No.
Why is that?
But it's not because I won't. I'm just going to let them ask me.
And how do you feel about that day, when and if it comes? Are you dreading it? Are you looking forward to it?
I don't think it would be a bad thing, but if it never happens, I'm not going to fret. One thing I will say about them is, for little kids, they went through a lot with daddy being gone a couple times, like most military kids go through. It's not easy. And I'm sure part of them doesn't want to think about it again either, even though they were quite young when it happened. I'm sure they still don't want to remember it.
Mm-hmm. And they're just happy now that you're here. Maybe not.
Most of the time, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about whether or not this was therapeutic for you, or maybe another word is better to describe the process of writing this, because after all, you revisit in your mind all these places where potentially traumatic things happened.
Yes, very much so. In fact, I found that that was the benefit of doing this.
The benefit of writing the book.
I get to exercise these demons, and I'm a lot more at peace with things that happened on that rotation. And well, let me be flat out honest. My post-war years have not been easy. I have a pretty strong rating for PTSD. I do have a diagnosed traumatic brain injury. It's been hard to find work in general. Obviously, you know the economy since 2008 when I got back from the second rotation. There's been quite a few obstacles for me to climb. And I was saying to myself, and I remember saying to my father one day, how do I make this better? And then I said to him, I said, you know, if I can find a way to take all these negative experiences that I have, all these bad things that happened to me, and if I can turn them into something that's beneficial for me, then they will have been worth it. And I think I did that with this book. I think I pulled that off.
Well, thanks very much, Nate. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter. This has been a great honor to come in and talk with you.
That's Nathan Ritzo. He's the author of Tower 13, a novel based on his experience serving at Camp Victory in Iraq. And you can find Nathan's top five book recommendations at nhpr.org. And we've been hearing from listeners like you about the books on their bookshelves. David from Marlow wrote in to recommend The Eight by Catherine Neville. He writes, it's a wonderful blood and thunder about a magic chess set made from around the year 1000 and sequestered in a French convent until about 1790. The Mother Superior fears the convent will be overrun and looted and sends nuns out to hide the pieces in different places. Then, in the present day, a computer specialist is tasked with finding the pieces and reassembling the chess set. Well, that's David's recommendation. What is yours? Write us an email. Books@nhpr.org is the address. We look forward to reading your recommendations. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.